Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone, or good morning where you are on the East Coast. This is the special 40 Seconds Fire American Soccer Show, the USA send-off series before we head on over to Brazil for the World Cup. The USA currently in second-half stoppage time, leading by a score of 2-0 on Azerbaijan. Joining me, of course, Philly Sportsnet soccer page is my good friend Earl Reed. And it looks like the final whistle has finally been blown, Earl, and the United States takes a 2-0 victory over Azerbaijan as both Jurgen Klinsmann and Bertie Vogts handshakes at midfield around the benches. And just have to say that while the goal scoring came late and it was a bit of a breather and a sigh of relief, maybe there's still some issues here with this team before we head on over to take on the Turks at Red Bull Arena this coming Sunday.
Yeah, this match, I think, showed some of the issues, perhaps with fitness of the U.S. team right now, trying to, you know, get into shape. I think from what I've read on Twitter and whatnot, Jurgen Klinsmann has really put them through the gauntlet as far as trying to get, you know, Klinsmann always holds, you know, match fitness and endurance and stamina and whatnot in the highest regard. And so I would imagine he has been really putting them to the test. And I think it showed tonight. The legs, as was remarked in the broadcast, were pretty heavy once you hit the 60th minute. You know, and I also just, it seemed like the ideas came sort of fewer and further between as the match went on. Things were pretty good right off the bat. Some chances created. But as things wore on, there were some, you know, I guess the takeaway from this is Azerbaijan really didn't give the U.S. much of a match here. They were pretty content to play defense. They organized, try to hit a counterattack every once in a while. But, you know, this was quite, you know, quite an effort for the United States to try to generate things through the run of play, generate chances. There weren't a whole lot, you know, past, we'll say, the 15. I mean, I have written here on my sheet from, like, the 15th minute on, there were hardly any chances really created for, you know, the U.S. up until, you know, we'll say the 60th minute when the subs started coming on. So, you know, just it was a tough, you know, tough game. I'm sure they're feeling their legs right now, and hopefully as the match in New York City or just across the river from New York City approaches, they will get the you know, more acclimated to what Klinsmann needs them to be doing as far as their ability to withstand, you know, full 90.
Absolutely, Earl, and I definitely agree with you. But I have to say, if we're going to be a little fair here towards Azerbaijan in the first half, especially in this first half, I thought Kamran Agayev was absolutely spectacular for this country, formerly a part of the Soviet Union, of course. I thought the keeper played fantastic. I mean, Chris Wondolowski probably should have had at least two goals in the first half, and it was all for naught because of Agayev, who was spectacular in net, the number one in net for Azerbaijan.
Yeah, the first chance that came in the third minute right off the bat, Wondolowski, you know, he was left. I mean, one of the things we can remark in this match, you know, because he was left pretty much unmarked on that set piece, is that Azerbaijan really seems to be poor at marking on these set pieces. Wondolowski was wide open in the third minute. unfortunately for him, the header was like directly at Agayev. Good positioning to get the save, but you know, Juan Nolaski, if he puts it on either post or just inside the post, I doubt that Agayev gets those. So poor luck for him on that one. And then the 15th minute, there was a short corner from Zusi that was played to Bedoya, and Bedoya crossed it in once he hit the end line to Wando, and his shot, his header, I believe, was parried over the bar with a quick reflex save from Agayev. So, tough luck for Wando tonight. He probably deserved a couple goals here, or at least one. I would imagine he'll have more chances coming up in either the Turkey or Nigeria games that are approaching here in the next week or so. But, the tough part for him is what happened later in the match for the guy who came on for him, in the 62nd minute.
Yeah, definitely. And just once again, I guess after that first 15 minutes, the passing didn't really look that sharp. There's been a couple of good moments here and there, but to be honest, overall, the passing did not look crisp. It didn't look sharp. I felt that the boys probably were, I wouldn't say it's a hangover, but if they are saying that because Jurgen Klinsmann ran them into the ground and trained them hard, then probably that's a bit of a problem right now. Because I understand you want to make sure that they're fit and they're able to go, but for Klinsmann, you're playing against Azerbaijan, and obviously, FIFA rankings, be as it may, Azerbaijan is not one of the powerhouses in all of European football, and that's for sure. But still, if you can't find a way to dictate this match and to at least break in and really take them down, I'm not saying it should have been 15-0 or anything, Earl, but at least you should have had at least maybe more than three goals, at least in the first half.
Yeah. Well, I think you have a case that this could have at least been a 3-0 game, possibly four, if one or two of Wando's chances go in. I think for me, one of the key issues that's going to be identified here in the next couple of games is going to have to be Michael Bradley in that role at the point of the 4-4-2 diamond, which indeed this was a 4-4-2 diamond. He's not what I would consider to be your typical advanced playmaker. He's not the guy that seems to be able to play a great deal of through balls. Guys, the guy who's going to have the vision to play through either your forwards or your wings coming off the edge. Instead, you saw it a lot in this match. He was almost like, back to goal, passing directly back to Jones or directly back to one of the center backs. And, he's either got to get himself to where he's distributing to the wings and, bringing Zusi, Bedoya, perhaps Diskerud, perhaps Davis, depending on who's playing there on the flank at the time. He's got to bring them in, or he's got to be able to turn and move into space and have the vision in order to set up one of these guys to be able to take a shot at goal, because, really that's what you need out of that position. You don't necessarily need the metronome guy who's going to, hold the tempo for you. I mean, really that's what Jermaine Jones ought to be in that deep role. So, this is what the formation brings you. There's a quandary there because you're trying to get both Jones and Bradley into this. And, Bradley isn't really that guy you want there. Bradley probably is better off in the position Jones is in. But, Klinsmann wants a guy who's more, I think Jones's role probably takes a little bit away from what Michael Bradley can do. So, I think playing when, the empty bucket sort of fits what Bradley does, and he plays that pretty well in Toronto. But, you know, this is just the type of thing that we're going to have to see over the next couple of games. Can Bradley grow into that role before the trip down to Brazil? Or maybe, you know, the other thing could be Klinsmann maybe oversimplifying his role. Maybe he's told Bradley not to do too much in order to allow, I mean, obviously Ghana and Portugal and Germany are going to have scouts at these games. You know, how much do you want of your hand do you want to show up mm-hmm. front? I don't know. So
right.
maybe that's a part of it too.
So you would say that maybe Michael Bradley would work better in a defensive midfield position and then just attacking up the field and going into an offensive position, as you've mentioned about the whole empty bucket formation that used to be his father's tactics early on.
Well, you could consider Dempsey, if he dropped further back, to be an attacking midfielder as opposed to a second or a second striker, whatever you want to call it. I mean, and so then you end up with a more of a, you know, 4-2-3-1 that Klinsmann liked earlier on in his tenure. He seems to now be favoring this 4-4-2 diamond. We'll have to see. You know, I wonder if pulling back a striker might help. Or dropping Dempsey further. I guess that would be the other storyline coming out of this game mm-hmm. is hopefully the condition of Clint Dempsey isn't particularly troublesome. It sounded like Klinsmann was coy about it at the half. Makes it sound like he just picked up a little bit of soreness or something and they just didn't want to chance it. And that probably if it were a more meaningful game, he'd be in there. So, we'll just hope that's the case, because I think as much as Wondolowski, did well and, you know, was in the right place for a couple chances, I think Dempsey brings a different tenacity to that role and, can really be more of a link-up guy than even what Wondolowski was, which we did see from Wondolowski somewhat.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also think I was a little disappointed with Altidore today, and I understand people are continuing to talk about his form with Sunderland, and I like to think that maybe Josie can fight through that and go and play a heck of a game. I saw him more wide instead of being in the middle. Obviously, he likes to hold the ball whenever he gets the opportunity, but to see him being wide with the ball, I think that's a mistake, because he's supposed to be at least a target striker that you want to get the midfield, whoever's at the wings, to cross the ball towards him in the area so he can punish the keeper and punish the opposition. I saw him too many times being wide on the field in the attacking third. I think Klinsmann needs to get him more middle instead of being out wide.
That's an observation that I definitely made as well, that he was out there. The question that I have is whether or not Klinsmann is going to be able to trust a guy like DeMarcus Beasley or Fabian Johnson to go forward enough to really help the wingers or the wide midfielders out there. That's really, I think, what Josie's supposed to be doing when he's out there, is to try to interplay with early in the match Bedoya it seemed like Josie was more on the left probably than on the right, and so he was trying to connect more with, let's say, Bedoya and get him help him create space so he can overlap, or Wondolowski was siding more on the right, it seemed like, and so he was outletting with Zusi and whatnot. But, yeah, I tend to agree with you that Altidore seems to be, the type of guy that would really benefit more from staying more central. I just think that Klinsmann is anticipating, especially against Portugal and Germany, needing to have his fullbacks deeper and not being able to commit as many numbers forward because, obviously against Portugal you have Cristiano Ronaldo, Nani, two wingers that can be pretty dangerous. Germany, you also have the potential down the wings to have some issues. So you know, LOM and whatnot. So you don't necessarily want to get caught out with those types of teams. And so I don't know if he's trying to get Josie involved to try to help Link play up top, but that's my only guess at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather see him in the center trying to help, you know, Michael Bradley have an outlet point and, you know, be able to, you know, keep things moving in the center, where I think things got a little bit outnumbered tonight because, like you said, they were pulled out wide.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's talk some positives, obviously. Let's go to the goals. First goal of the match that was scored in the 75th minute, Mick Diskerud gets a handle on a rebound after a free kick, at least on the free kick, gave the keeper some problems for Azerbaijan. Michael Bradley on the rebound was ripping one, and that was another save. But it was Diskerud that comes in, and he puts it home, and the USA finally gets on the board with 15 minutes left to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brad Davis is, you know, it's so easy to underrate him, and I know I underrate mm-hmm. him too, and there have been so many people saying, and myself included, oh, you know, you'd rather have Landon Donovan. What's he doing taking Donovan's spot, yada, yada. You know, his big attribute seems to be set-piece delivery. I mean, we've seen it with the Dynamo for many years, and, you know, he did it twice in this game. Now, granted, there was a little bit of a pinball deal on that first goal that Diskerud got, kind of pinballed around. Diskerud, I think, actually headed it down for Bradley, who his shot would have gone if it wasn't cleared off the line by a defender.
Mm-hmm.
And then Diskerud was able to clean up, and I think that was even deflected off the goalkeeper. Diskerud shot that still found its way through. But, yeah, I mean, this is something I'm going to write to, you know, I've got sort of in the queue tomorrow, and I might have to adjust the article in the morning briefly, because one of the things I thought was, you know, with Donovan out, who is going to step up? And, you know, I think Diskerud showed tonight, and, you know, maybe Aaron Johansson to an extent, you know, maybe you've got a couple guys here that, you know, whether they're second-half subs or whether you give them a shot right out of the gate, they may be difference makers in a match where you need a goal. So, you know, sort of the Johnny-on-the-spot thing for Diskerud, and I think there was another chance that he had blocked later on that he seemed to be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, this is the type of thing that you're going to need if you're not going to have Landon Donovan on your team. So, but good set piece, poor set piece defending from the Azerbaijanis. Not so much on this one, but on the second goal. Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Abject.
Absolutely. Once again, great delivery from Brad Davis at the near corner. And Aaron Johansson, wide open, get to the perfect spot, power snap header into the upper near 90 for the 2-0 victory. And, of course, at the time, it was a 2-0 lead, 81st minute. Johansson is a star, not just for the national team, but for AZ Alkmaar in the Eredivisie in the Netherlands. I got to tell you, Earl, Aaron Johansson is absolutely brilliant on the goal he scored. I mean, that was destined for the back of the net.
Yeah, and it was, you know, top corner, upper 90, whatever you want to call it. Really no shot for the keeper. Powerful. You know, I don't know why his mark didn't follow him. That was pretty much a mystery to me. But, you know, that's something that you had Wondolowski with two similar situations, and while he did get them on target, they weren't good enough, whereas Johansson's was right where it needed to be. I mean, you couldn't have placed it in a better spot as far as scoring goes. So, you know, that may be the difference between Wondolowski, who is sort of an MLS, you can get by with 15 to 20 goals and you're in the hunt for the golden boot, and a guy who is approaching, I don't want to say approaching world class, I, you know, that's you know, the Eredivisie is a good league over there, but, you know, I think until Johansson were to prove himself, I mean, you saw what Altidore has done at Sunderland, you know, but you can definitely tell that Johansson has, you know, maybe a class above Wondolowski, and so, you know, I don't know whether that means Wando ends up coming off. I mean, Wando may end up just riding the pine at some point. I mean, being sort of this last gasp if things get really bad. But, you know, or the other thing could be, you know, if Altidore doesn't turn this around and ends up being a second-half sub, then I don't know. I mean, it's just strange. Johansson brings some other things, too. He could play out wide if he needed to. You're not just stuck with, you know, with him as an out-and-out, like, number nine forward. And he, I don't think he really necessarily is the type of number nine that Josie is. I don't think he's nearly as physical. But, you know, the other thing, getting back to Altidore a little bit, is I'd like to see that physicality translate into the hold-up play that I think the U.S. needs. And he does that some. He needs to do it more. And, you know, I don't think Azerbaijan is the most stout defensive line, back line. You know, you're going to go up against many more, you know, physical presences, you know, in the World Cup coming up here. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, get ready.
You know, exactly. So let me ask you this then. What's it like seeing this national team playing together without Landon Donovan? I mean, this is the first time where it's not Camp Cupcake, where you know Landon's getting a break, that he's not going to be, you know, he'll be on the national team another month or two. This is it. Right now, there's no Landon Donovan. Maybe there's no injury that will sideline Clint Dempsey. But as of right now, what's your opinion about no Landon Donovan for the first time ever, that he won't be a part of this World Cup group going to Brazil?
Well, first of all, I think it's a little unfair to the players that, you know, I think this, you know, the constant drone in the back of your head as the match goes 60, 70 minutes without a goal is, gee, what if Landon were here? And not only that, but I mentioned it on Twitter, you know, right from the get-go when Dempsey was out. You know, it was like immediately the talk became, oh, well, is this the striker that, if he's injured, that Landon comes in for? Is it, you know, it's like, you know, it's like you're not even waiting for the body to get cold, and you're already jumping and pining for Landon Donovan to get called in because you're looking for the Johnny Manziel or Tim Tebow moment of all of this buzz and stuff, you know. So, you know, I don't want to say shame on the media, but, you know, I think that could be handled a little bit better if, be more responsible. Find out what the extent of Dempsey's injury is, which it sounds like it's relatively minor. And honestly, there have been other cases where we've seen injuries within the team and, you know, during qualifiers, and nobody's brought in. So, you know, the speculation, you know, they're looking for headlines. That's fine. Whatever. I just think it would be more helpful to report on these players who are putting in, you know, anywhere from 45 to 90 minutes worth of effort, you know, busting their tails. Regardless of how Landon Donovan did on Sunday night, which we know he got a couple goals and, you know, looked like the world beater that he is when he's on. You know, it's when he's motivated, he's such a good player. And I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll end up seeing him. But I'm hoping that Dempsey's all right.
Same here. I was going to add on to what you were saying. I was going to say the Bring Out Your Dead sketch from Monty Python.
You know,
I'm not dead. Yes, you are. No. I'm not dead. Yes, you are. I feel happy. Boom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine them almost wishing that Dempsey was going to be hurt for long term, which it sounded almost, you know, I hate to put words in mouths, but that's almost what you're wishing for if you were hoping that Donovan was going to get called in. And so, anyway, you know, I guess, I don't know how much time we have left, but Yeah, I was going to say, the one other thing that we probably ought to talk about is the back line, which had some changes some shifts and some things that maybe should have been shifted and weren't. But, you know, I thought generally they didn't have a whole lot to do. I thought Beisler was a little nervous early on. Cameron seemed composed. I didn't understand the long ball tactics that they played early on. Seemed like Cameron was kind of like everything was funneling through him and going straight up to Altidore. It was almost like a target play. But Johnson was fine. Beisler was fine. Omar, I didn't really even know he came into the game. Chandler, I didn't think. I thought, I mean, it just didn't seem like much was happening. I think he, I don't know if he missed. I mean, there's a guy that was open on one play in the second half, later in the second half, that was kind of like wandering around the box with the ball and nobody was covering him. And I thought maybe, well, is that Gonzalez's guy? But I don't have tape. Chandler, I thought, was abysmal on the left. I really hope, you know, I thought they should have switched Johnson over to the left if you're going to play Chandler. But they put Chandler over there and he just, he missed out a lot of passes and just didn't, you know, his, he tried one left-footed cross and it looked like a worm burner. So, you know, I hope that's not really the depth option on the left. I'm hoping that Johnson would move over. And Yedlin was not, you know, I think is what you'd expect from a kid who's inexperienced. What is he, 19?
19 years old. I thought he had some decent moments on the right side, but other than that, you're absolutely correct. He looked a little inexperienced out there for the U.S. But then again, we'll see what happens because you got through this one against Azerbaijan. Now you're going to take on two sides that are probably one of the mid-level powerhouses in Europe and, of course, of one of the powerhouses in Africa. You're going to face the Turks this coming Sunday, and then you're going to Jacksonville to face Nigeria on June 7th. So if this is going to be one of those, you know, inhale-exhale moments against Azerbaijan, that's fine because you're going to face a real tough opponent in Turkey at Red Bull Arena, and you're going to face an even tougher opponent in Nigeria over at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. So you're absolutely right, Earl. This back line is going to be tested severely in the next week or two.
Yeah, well, but that's the other thing is I think, you know, I think this test tonight was something that you're just never going to end up seeing in the World Cup. You know, the closest would be, you know, potentially Ghana, but, you know, they're just way too dynamic, you know, going forward for what Azerbaijan brought to the table here. I mean, their transition was nothing, I think, compared to what you'll see from Ghana. So, you know, this is sort of the type of match that I think the U.S. can often look unimpressive in when they're kind of bossing the game but have, you know, I think what's going to be more indicative is when they have teams that can come at them more. And when that space opens up, that's when I think the U.S. is at their most effective, as they've been for years and years and years. You know, the counterattack kind of team. And in this kind of game, there were only a couple of real occasions where you really thought to yourself, oh, this is a counterattack. Maybe they have a chance. So should be interesting. Yeah, I mean, Turkey will be a test that I think should really ease some minds or, you know, maybe start the heart palpitating a bit as to what could actually happen down in Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, everybody, this will do it for the post-game show. As the United States does defeat Azerbaijan in the final 15, late in this match by a final of 2-0, goals from Mix Diskerud and Aaron Johansson. And join us on Sunday after the USA takes on Turkey for the post-game show. For Earl Reed, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you on Sunday. As always, enjoy your football. Bye-bye for now.